Greet you all in precious name of Jesus. Our sacrifice, God's perfect lamb for us. And when we realize the sacrifice and the cost of that sacrifice, it should move us to be appreciative, be thankful, and praise God for what he's done for us. Every one of us sitting here this morning, doesn't matter what home you came from, doesn't matter how good your parents were, doesn't matter how good a childhood you had, how angelic a child you were, outside of Jesus Christ, you were doomed for hell. We can apply that blood to our lives and have that sin forgiven, removed, and we can be sanctified. What a blessing we have. The message this morning stems from an experience in my life that I had just in the last year. I'm not an individual that often struggles with discouragement and depression. But this past year, I really struggled with that. And I actually made mention of it to Brother Sherwin, and I think maybe the rest of the ministry as well. And it's interesting, as I was thinking and praying about this message and deciding whether I should preach his message or not, Brother Sherwin called me and asked how I'm doing and wondered if I'm feeling better, if I'm gaining the victory. And I was glad to be able to tell him that through the grace and power of God, I have gained the victory. And just for clarification's sake, the depression and the struggle that I was having had nothing to do with the political realm. But when you go through times like that and you think about, your mind is constantly going, and your mind is heaping things upon each other, and situations grow, and you're at the end of your own capability of doing anything, and you become so discouraged and so depressed that it's just like, just stay in bed, pull the shades down at the windows and pull the covers up over your head and just stay there all day. And like I said, I'm not an individual that often struggles with this, so maybe it wasn't as bad as what I thought it was. Well, usually it isn't, but it was a new thing for me. And as I thought about that, I thought, there's a lot of people in this world, and there's a lot of people in this church probably that go through experiences like that from time to time. And I began to think about that as God gave me the victory through the Holy Spirit. Began to think about that, and I realized that there's a lot of people that need encouragement that we may not even know that they're going through a struggle. There's individuals around us that are facing things in life that are getting them stressed, discouraged, and challenging situations in their lives that we may not even be aware of. If you travel back with me approximately 6,000 years, not 6,000, about 4,000 years, right after our Sunday school lesson, and I'm not going to spend much time on this because it's next Sunday's lesson. The children of Israel had that miraculous experience in Egypt as they witnessed the plagues that God brought upon the land of Egypt. And some of them they may have experienced and others they were spared from. But they came to what we had in our lesson today of the Passover and the firstborn of the land being slain except for the houses that had the blood applied. And they left that bondage. They left that land of slavery for them. And they moved out as a group of people, possibly as many as 2 million people, plus all their cattle. And they traveled, and there's varying thoughts and ideas as I looked into this and tried to find out how long it was from the time they left Egypt until they got to the Red Sea. And there's varying opinions on that. Josephus would say 3 days. And some other commentators that I read estimate anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks. So I'm not sure how long it was, but it was a very recent historical event in their lives. And God had worked a miracle for them. And they come to the Red Sea, and as they look behind them, they see the enemy army closing in fast on them. They had no way forward, and they were blocked in. It's interesting to me that those individuals who had just experienced God's hand in a miraculous way in their life could so quickly turn to defeat and say, Moses, why did you bring us out here to die? Weren't there enough of graves in Egypt? Isn't this what we told you right from the very beginning? Just let us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It were better that we were there and serving them than to die here in this wilderness. You know, sometimes that's how we feel. Just let me alone. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14. Verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. The title of the message this morning is Stand Still and See. And you know, I don't know about you all, but for me, when I was in this downtime of life, yes, in our physical sense, in our mental and emotional state, we might feel like just crawling into a hole and staying there. But what really happens is our mind is going crazy. We're desperate. We're trying to do something. We're working. We're working in this area and that area and trying to demand results here and change here and we're not standing still. But God said through Moses, first of all, he said, fear ye not. Don't be afraid of what's around you. Don't be afraid of what you see. Don't be afraid of what you think is going to happen. But stand still. You know, these individuals here, they were probably ready to run in every direction to try and get away from what was the impending doom that they saw. But God said, stand still and see my salvation. So what can we do today? When we face fear, discouragement, stress, and depression. Well, I'll be honest with you, and I'll admit that I did not stand still when I was facing it. I went through a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress and struggle, and I tried this and I tried that, and I asked a few other people to pray for me. But I was still trying to do things on my own. I was still trying to desperately change the situation. I was trying to take things into my own hands. This morning, if you're facing a time of stress and struggle in your life, if you're facing depression, if you're looking for answers to the stresses in life and the things that are weighing you down, if you're looking for a bright light in the midst of darkness and struggle in your life, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So many times in our situations in life, when we face those times, we look to God almost as a last resort. God, I just can't find my way out of this. Can you help me? And I have faced many situations in my life that if I would have turned to God first and taken this verse to heart, cast all my care upon him. And that word care there means an anxious concern. An anxious concern for something. A worry. A fretting. A time of just being caught up in thinking of nothing else but this problem and how I can resolve it. Those times, God is asking us just to give it to him. And you know, that seems almost too easy. And I think that's why sometimes we don't take that road, because, well, that's just too easy, you know. But he says, I want your cares. I want you to give them to me. I want to take them off of your shoulders and off of your heart and off of your mind. And I want to take care of them for you, because he cares for us. It says he careth for you. And that word careth means he has an interest in you. He wants to take care of you. And brother, sister, this morning, when we're struggling with discouragement and depression, oftentimes it's because we feel like nobody cares. Nobody understands. Why should I even tell anybody about it? Because nobody's going to understand. Nobody's going to really realize what I'm going through. And we get into that shell of thinking that we're the only ones that have ever experienced anything like this. We're the only ones that have been through this struggle, and nobody else is going to be able to understand. And maybe in human flesh, you won't find somebody that fully understands exactly what you're going through. But brother, sister, this morning, God does understand. He knows our frame. He understands what we're made of. because he is the designer. He is the one that created this body. Now, granted, the fall of man has brought things into being that God had not directly planned for. I say that carefully because I don't want to make it sound like God didn't know what was happening. But his plan was for man to have a perfect relationship in existence with him. But sin destroyed that. And there are things that come into play in our bodies that can cause us to go through times of sorrow and distress. But God cares about that. And he understands that those things come, and he knows all about it. He wants us to come to him and just cast it all on him and say, you know, God, this is how I feel. This is what I'm going through. This is what I see. I see the water in front of me and the army behind me, and I don't know what to do. It's useless, God. And God will take that pillar of the cloud and the pillar of the fire, and he'll move that in your life as you yield to him, as you just cast yourself on him and say, God, here I am. You yield yourself to him. He'll take that pillar and he'll move it in your life to bring protection. I don't know what you think of that pillar in your life today, but for me, I view it as the Holy Spirit, and I may be right or wrong, but I view it as the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit becomes that barrier between us and the enemy, whatever that enemy may be. And he gives us time to think. He gives us time to realize that, you know, God is in control of this situation. God is working here. And again, I say sometimes we think that it's just almost too simple to just say, you know, God, here's the situation and I give it to you. And it just seems like, yeah, I want to, but I can't quite do it. Some years ago, my wife suffered a ruptured brain aneurysm, and she was in Hershey Medical Center, and we weren't sure what was going to happen. Brothers and sisters, I don't know how many times that I just prayed to God and said, God, she's in your hands. I can't do anything. There's nothing I can do. She's just, you know, it's in your hands. And then I take it right back again. But, you know. Don't do that. It just adds to the stress. Because taking it back doesn't change the situation. Psalm 103 in verse 13 says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Brother, sister, if you're going through a time of real stress in your life, remember that you have a father that cares about you. You have a father that pities you. You have a father that loves you. You have a father that understands you. And sad is the child's life who doesn't understand that and doesn't have a father that really loves them and cares for them and pities them. You all that are involved in Thursday Church, you understand that. You see that. You see children that have no concept of what the love of God is and what the father love is because they don't experience it in their lives. And that is why God gave us parents, so we can understand the correlation between a child and a parent. He wants us as parents to be that example of him. But even if your father has left you down, so to speak, and we will as fathers, because we are human, there will be times when our children depended on us and we left them down. But God isn't like that. God is not a father of human flesh. God is an eternal God, a father that makes no mistakes. If there's a mistake, it's on our part. And if God feels far away, it's because of us. If there's no light in our lives, it's not because God isn't wanting to shed it into our lives. It's because we have closed the door. We have a father that cares. He says he pities us as a child. He knows that we're not able to handle everything. We're not fully grown yet. We're still in the flesh, brothers and sisters, and we will face things. But we have a Father God that is not in the flesh. And he is all-powerful. And he is an individual that looks down on his children with care and with concern and with passion and with love. And he wants us to feel and experience that. But in order to do that, we need to do, like we read in 1 Peter, we need to cast our cares, we need to cast ourselves upon him and say, here it is, Lord. I give it to you. I know you can handle it. I can't. I know you can. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. I'd like to read a few verses here. Ephesians chapter 3, begin reading at verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that ye ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Amen. So we look at that passage of Scripture, and I think about that as I thought of the situation that I was in. This is one of the passages of Scripture that I turned to and read many times over. And it starts out there with Paul saying, for this cause I bow my knees. He's bowing his knees to the God of heaven. He's not bowing his knee to any other situation or help that may come his way. He's not bowing his knee to an insurance company or to an organization, but he's bowing his knee to the God of heaven. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's bowing his knee. He says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, God is the Father of all. If you read through the genealogy of Jesus Christ, it goes back through and finally it comes to Adam and it says, who was the Son of God? God created all that we see. We are all offspring of God. It says heaven and earth, the angels, everything that is, God created. So we are named in that family. Have we become a part of that spiritual family? That's the question. Physically created, we are all a part of that family. Then verse 16, it says that he would grant you according to his riches. You know, brothers and sisters, this morning, I'd like to impress upon you the fact that God has no limits in his abilities to help his children. God has no limits in his ability to help those who need help. I asked the question one time in a message, do we believe that there's anything too big for God to take care of? Do we believe that there's any sin that God cannot cleanse us from? Do we believe that there's any temptation that we enter into that God is not able to deliver us and show us a way through and help us to be victorious? I pray, brothers and sisters, that you don't believe that there is anything like that, because if you do, you're limiting God. You're limiting the one that can help you. You're not limiting him. You're limiting his power in your life, because you're saying, well, God, this is too big for you. You can't help me. I got to try and help myself. How foolish. He wants, by the power of his glory and his riches, he wants to strengthen the inner man. Stop and think about that, brothers and sisters. By the Spirit of God, he wants to strengthen the inner man. That man that struggles, that man that faces the stresses of life, that man that has the emotional downturn in his life, that inner man, that being within us that gets discouraged, that gets depressed. God wants to strengthen that through his Spirit. And he wants to do that by the power of his might and his riches. And again, I stress to you this morning that there is not one thing that if you're willing to wholly give it to God, that he won't take care of. That you won't be able to find your way through. It's not said that it's all just going to go away. Because what good would it be for us if we were just relieved of all our temptation and all our stresses and all our struggles? We wouldn't grow. We would not grow in our response to God. We would not grow in our dependence on God. We would not grow in our faith to God if God would just make everything go away. But he gives us the strength. He gives us the power. He gives us the courage to find our way through. And when you're in those dark times, that may be one of the last things you want to do. Because what's the use? I can pray to God and nothing changes. I can read the Bible and it just doesn't seem to light up like it used to. I'm not saying that all depression is due to a relationship with God that has been severed or has been compromised, because there are physical conditions that will create depression and discouragement. But brothers and sisters, if you can read the Word of God and it doesn't light up, if there's no light in your darkness whatsoever, I beg of you to open the door of your heart to the light of God. Allow God's light, his power, his strength through the Holy Spirit to shine into you and to make those pages light up as you read them and as you study his word, that it would have a an effect on your mind and on your heart. Verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. It's a step of faith when you're in those discouraged times, when you're in the midst of a depression. It's a step of faith to open your heart to God and allow Jesus Christ to come in and dwell in you. That ye may be rooted and grounded in love. The love of God flowing into your heart. Brothers and sisters, if you've never felt that situation where you have opened up your life to God and you have felt that love and that completeness flow into you, that is an amazing an amazing feeling. And it's not just a feeling, it's a reality. As Jesus Christ fills your heart, as the Holy Spirit comes in and fills you and begins to dispel the darkness that is there, the presence of the Holy Spirit and darkness cannot dwell together. And you allow the Spirit to come into your lives and you allow the Holy Spirit to shine in your heart. You allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate the pages. It will dispel the darkness. It will bring light. It will bring life. But it's up to us. We need to make the choice. We need to cast ourselves upon God. We need to cast our cares on Him, understanding and having faith that He cares for us. Verse 18 says, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And I think it's referring back to that love that we can experience, that we would be able to comprehend. And that word comprehend is too small a word for this situation in my mind. But, you know, it takes us a lifetime and we still do not comprehend the greatness of God's love, the all-encompassing of God's love. When we're in those times of distress, when we're in those times of trouble and temptation, when we're in those times of discouragement and despair, that all-encompassing love seems so far away. God, if you really love me, why are you letting this happen to me? God, if you really care about me, why did you let this situation come to pass? There's many Christians in the world today who have asked that question, God, why? God has an answer for that if we're willing to open our hearts and listen. And it may be to cleanse us, it may be to purify us, it may be to strengthen us, it may be to help someone else by the example that we let as we go through those times. You know, when I was in a frame of mind of discouragement and depression, I was not in any position to help anybody else that was going through any struggles whatsoever because I had nothing to offer. Well, I don't normally have anything to offer. It's only because of God, but I think you understand what I'm saying. My life was empty. My life was focused on myself and my own problems. But brothers and sisters, sometimes God allows those things to come upon us, and I'm not saying this in respect to me necessarily, but sometimes God allows those things to come upon us to strengthen us, and to challenge us, and to maybe to chastise us, and to get us on track again. But sometimes God allows those things in our lives that, by our faithfulness and by our willingness to allow Him to work the victory in our lives, we can be an example to those around us. And I've had many individuals around me that have been those examples to me. Verse 19 says, "And to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." God wants to fill you this morning. He wants to fill you. He wants that darkness out and the light in. He wants the struggle and the strife out and peace and love in. He wants that depression out and joy and satisfaction in. Verse 20, how can this all happen? Paul here is commending the people unto him that is able to do, and it seems like he just can't get done describing what all God can do. He says, to do exceeding abundantly above. You know, somebody does something exceeding great, you know, that's big, that's great. But this is exceeding abundantly. And then he says, above. And then he says, above all that you can ask. Now, have you ever prayed to God and you ask him for something that you thought, well, this is big? Brothers and sisters, I've done it many times. This is big. God, if you can do this, my faith will be increased. But you know, sometimes there's things that we're almost, we can't put it to words. It's that big, it's that stressful, it's that weighty upon us that we can't really put it to words. But he says here, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. If you can think it, God can do it. If you can think that you want to see the light shining through your darkness, God can do it. But he can only do it as we cast ourselves on him. The choice is ours. According to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Amen. Brothers and sisters, God wants to do this for us. God wants to bring us peace. God wants to bring us hope and joy for his glory, for his honor. God wants to have his light shining in us and through us for his honor and glory. Satan wants us dark. Satan wants us discouraged. Satan wants us depressed because he knows we are of no use if he can keep us in that state. But God wants joy and peace and love and light. And he wants that to shine through us to those around us.